T-Mobile.
KO4HKX.
Happy Thursday, how's it going?
How about you? I'm dragging a little bit this morning.
I woke up early and went for a little run. Got on the road early and hit to work, only to get to 85 and it'd be closed. And I lost 20 minutes early that I started with, trying to take all the detours to get back on the part that was open.
Good way to start your day, huh?
What do you get, Patrick?
Not sure yet. Need to see about getting this tool truck serviced, and hopefully they can do it tomorrow, but I won't find out until later today. So that'll take up Friday, and then I don't know about Saturday and Sunday yet. How about you?
Well, tongue jack for my camper will come in. I don't know if I told you, but Friday last week I went to take it out for a spin, and I was reeling in the tongue jack, and a bunch of hornets started flying out of it. So I ran off, got some spray and stuff, and sprayed it, but then I forgot to finish retracting the tongue jack and tried to drive off, and that's $700 later. I need to get a new tongue jack put on there.
Hopefully you didn't get stung on top of it.
Sure.
Come in, that way you can get it put on and back in working order.
Up to Beach Mountain next weekend.
See you again between now and then, which sure will, but have a good time and enjoy your camping trip.
If it doesn't come in time, then, you know, I can just go down to Tractor Supply and get a cheap manual one to use, but the auto-leveling system, I don't even think the jacks will work if the tongue jack isn't plugged into the system, because it's all tied together. And the auto-leveling system uses the tongue jack. I'm not sure manual mode will even work without the tongue jack on there.
It depends on if it's using that jack part of the system or not, I guess.
Auto-leveling. I'll try it this afternoon. When I get home, I'll throw it in manual mode and see if I can move the jack without the tongue jack plugged in. The front stabilizer jacks aren't strong enough to lift the camper. They're only strong enough to land it and stabilize. So I can't get it off the truck right now.
Like I said, hopefully it comes in and you can get it repaired this weekend. I don't know, it seems like certain things are getting hard to get again.
Seeing some supply chain issues start to pop up. It's all anticipation because the economy's been so good, everybody's expecting it to crash. So, you know, the manufacturers are dialing back on inventory and dialing back on orders because they're anticipating a pullback in the economy. And, of course, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, you know, once they do that enough, the economy will necessarily slow down because it just can't get stuff.
It's a two-edged sword there, a double-edged sword, whatever you want to call it. And people don't think about that end of it.
Recessions are caused by the anticipation of recession, so, you know, what can you do about it? We're here, too, so there's a lot of uncertainty going around. Well, at least there was some uncertainty until the debate, but, you know, it's just even more of a crazy show now.
I'm with you, and it seems like every election year, the closer you get to the election, the crazier it gets. It's like the clown show anymore. Routine maintenance, and then got a small coolant leak we got to try to get fixed, which is just hopefully replacing a gasket. So nothing major, just routine stuff.
If I get an oil sample for my truck and send it off, because I haven't changed the oil in, I think, about a year. It's been since before I bought the house. But I've only driven it like 500 miles in that year, so just want to check and make sure it's not, you know, getting acid buildup or fuel in it or whatever.
Pretty sure you're running the synthetic oil in there, aren't you? I think that's what you said one time before.
Get full synthetic.
Not have to worry about the oxidation as much, so you should be probably good. But you never can tell anymore. Let you know if you got other problems with the engine anyway.
bad about putting fuel in the oil, especially if you idle a lot, so I at least want to get that checked. I try not to idle when I can avoid it, but you know, given that I only drive it around town anymore and that, you know, don't really get it out on long hauling trips where it's under load, it's always possible to get fuel, land, or water in the oil there.
Newer model diesel idle is the worst thing you can do for it with all the regen and exhaust system particulate filters. It's not good for them. They're not like their predecessors, that's for sure.
Just about the first half of that, I was going through the hole here by the train bridge at X80.
A little scratchy this morning compared to what you usually are. But what I was saying is, the new generation diesels, they don't like to idle like their predecessors did.
Yeah, true. They're very finicky, and if you idle, you know, mine, if you idle for more than like 5 minutes, it'll increase the RPM to try to get the exhaust temperatures back up, because if it runs idle and low EGTs for too long, it just clogs up the DPF.
Any of the new ones, even like the 7.3, will kick the idle up depending on engine oil temp. Just trying to keep everything at the proper temperatures. So from about, what, 97-ish on the 7.3s, and this is when that started coming into play. Nope. The Duramax wasn't around then, so yeah, that's the way they're trying to do it, is maintain that engine oil temp, and that keeps everything up where it needs to be.
Well, he's got a rollback because he does a towing company, and his last truck, it was in the shop for emissions problems like two or three times a month. He had constant issues with the emissions, because, you know, with the rollback, you know, you're sitting there for several minutes just high idling the engine, you know, when you're running the hydraulics for the rollback, and, you know, a lot of time idling and stuff, so it's just, you know, it's just so bad for it. That thing was just really bad, so his newer one's not as bad. I forget what his newer one is. I think his old one was a 6.7, and the new one, I forget what the new one is. It's like an international or something.
He's having continued problems with the regen system, the first thing I would start looking at is your injectors are overfueling. And that's how come I recommend you monitor your fuel mileage on every tank, not just every once in a while, but every tank. That way you can spot an instant problem with that and head some of that stuff off. Because if you get a sudden drop in fuel mileage, I want to know why, what's causing it. Is it overfueling? Because that's what, 9 times out of 10, that's what takes the regen system out, is the injectors will start overfueling and people can't catch it because you can't see the exhaust smoke now.
The working theory, his first truck that had problem was the Ford. Yeah, the Power Stroke 6.7, I think his new one, the International, I think it's got a Cummins engine in it, and it's had far fewer issues. I don't even think he's had it in the shop yet. He hasn't mentioned it anyway, and he's had this one for about 6 months.
And depending on what year, 6.7 it was, they had some issues with exhaust temp sensors and NOx sensors and getting the calibration right on all that stuff. And like I said, injectors overfueling plays a massive. I'm not saying it's the only thing that can cause it, but it is a huge, huge part of it.
I remember when I did the first oil change in my truck. You know, it holds 10 quarts, but the first time I did an oil change, 12 quarts came out because I had been idling it. You know, I'd go to the Quick Trip in the morning, and it was January when I bought it, so it was cold. You know, so I'd leave it idling with a heater running when I went into my Quick Trip stop, and you know, after a couple months of that, it was just sitting there idling and fueling and just dumping fuel into the oil. And then my first DPF wore out after only about 80,000 miles. So I'm pretty sure I do have an injector that's overfueling to some degree, but I can't get anybody to look at it to see.
Unfortunately, that truck there, it's hard to find anybody that'll work on it. And there's so few of them made that they don't want to invest in it. So I don't know what to tell you on that one, unless you just pull the injectors out and have them sent to the injection shop.
I even called the local Nissan dealer out of desperation, and they said, oh, well, we don't have anybody who knows how to work on that, sorry. There is a diesel shop in Shelby, and I called them, and they're like, well, you know, we have to buy the license for the software, and it was like $1,500 from Nissan to get the license for the software for their code thing, whatever they use to program it with, and see all those numbers. So, you know, I was looking at $1,500 just for the diagnostics, you know, to buy them the license for the software so they could, you know, even look at the injector trims and look at the cylinder mixtures and stuff like that.
I ride with Cummins, and really no way around it. I don't know if ours does or not. Just like I say, those trucks are so hard to, you don't see enough of them to just put the money into it, I guess. I don't know if it works on or not. I've not been able to hook up to one.
Cummins Motor, but Nissan does the ECU, so it's not even Cummins you got to get a license from. It's Nissan, because they own the they own all the computers, and that's part of why that truck was so problematic, is because Nissan, who had never done a diesel before, decided that they wanted to own the hardware and the software for doing all the control, so it was their first shot at doing a diesel control system for a Cummins Motor. And I'm sure they got a lot of help and a lot of software from Cummins, but you know, it's all got the Nissan front end. They got to have all of their licenses and stuff.
Surprised Cummins even did that. Typically, they send out their own computer with it. Cummins is usually, they're pretty picky about what they allow people to have.
The fact that if you call Cummins asking any questions about a Nissan Cummins truck, they refer you to Nissan, they will refuse to talk to you.
Do it that animal, right? And but because it could have been a really good thing, but I guess it just poor execution.
An exercise in third-party integration. I mean, Nissan doesn't actually make any part of the truck. It's just all third-party. You know, they buy the transmission from Eisen. They even the axles were bought from some other company. You know, everything. I mean, no part of it was manufactured by Nissan except maybe the body. So, you know, third-party integration doesn't always work like that. But, you know, I'm just going to drive it until the wheels fall off, and then I'll, you know, bite my lip and spend the $90,000 on a Dodge or something like that when the time comes.
The best information I could offer you is just pull the injectors and send them to an injection shop and let them go through them, because I'm sure that it's probably got a Bosch injection system in it since it's Cummins, and they can go through it.
With y'all perfectly, man.
But good to hear you this morning. Hope you've been having a good week.
Yeah, man. It's all been going pretty good. I hope y'all had a great week, too.
Good. I think we're might actually going to get a break from the humidity today, too.
Been rough. It's not supposed to be any relief in sight for a while.
But I think we're the humidity is supposed to be pretty low today.
Went a little road down in the bottom, and doing some pipe work. And by about between 2 and 3 o'clock, we're pretty much done because it's so hot.
What I'm seeing in the shops, too. After lunch, everybody's just wandering around like zombies.
It's brutal this year, huh?
Big plans for the weekend?
I am going to be pretty much sorry all weekend, so I don't have a lot to do, so that's my big plan.
At least you know it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to ride up to Taylorsville Saturday night. They got a tractor pull up there, and I think we're going to go watch that.
Huh?
Using that old black smoke roll, so we'll probably go up here and watch that. You know, give us something to do on a Saturday evening. Any real plans?
I'm sure we'll find something to get into, but I'm going to try to keep it indoors as much as possible.
I'll be out there about this time in the morning, starting to do stuff around the house and get all I can get done by noon, 1 o'clock, and that'll be it for me.
For that, I'm waiting. If I got anything to do outside, I'm going to do it early. But hey, before I forget, either one of y'all planning on going to the Wayne's Lamb Fest? Not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Which one is it? Didn't know anything about it.
Hunting trip to Beach Mountain next Saturday.
Okay. Well, Jody, it's in Waynesville, North Carolina, which you're welcome to ride with us. Me and Gary and Leon are going, so you're welcome to meet up with us and go. Takes an hour and a half, 2 hours to get there from down here.
Gotta keep that in mind. Hey, when does Anderson come back over here at the lake?
Eric may know that one better.
Yep. Once I've been to it, but I thought they had it in the fall sometime.
He's coming up at the end of August. Not sure when the rest of them are, though.
I have to go to a Waynesville Shelby, which is, what is it? Labor Day weekend. And then the Anderson, which is usually in the fall, but I can't remember when it is. And then Stone Mountain, which is usually around the first weekend in November, first or second weekend.
Ride down to Stone Mountain, good. You know, that was a pretty decent one last year. That was the first time I got to meet you and face-to-face. So probably ride back down to that one.
If you decide you want to go, you're welcome to ride with us.
Looking at the forecast here, Shelby, we're looking at 96 on Sunday and 98 on Monday and Tuesday next week.
He's going to get brutal again.
Morning, but I was looking at the forecast, 10-day forecast yesterday, and next Wednesday down here, they're calling for triple digits and just regular temperature, not heat index or anything like that. It is supposed to be hot next week, upper 90s all week long, and then 100 on Wednesday.
Keep that water, will you?
Conditioners have been running pretty much constantly. I think when they built our houses and did the systems and stuff in them, I think my system was put in like 2006 and hers was put in 2016. And I guess the approach is to undersize them and just let them run all the time. And if they can't keep up with the temperature, oh well, at least it'll be dry. You know, we have it set at like 74, but it'll creep up to 77, 78, 79 degrees inside on these days where it gets up into the mid, upper 90s.
Sorry about that, guys.
No worries, W2JKT.
GF4MUF.
Pulling into my first stop, and one of the guys is pulling out. He's heading out to the job site early this morning, so he's filling me on what he needed.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Man, I'm off of Wade Hampton already. The sirens are going.
Down here, it was like 10 degrees cooler this morning than it was yesterday.
I was at my house when I got up and ran this morning.
House is in the 60s, but not as bad as yesterday, but like Eric was saying earlier, it just don't feel as humid, which is a good thing.
You know, 64 at the house this morning when I left, or 62, sorry.
Greenville right now, they've got 74, which is not too bad at all. And here come the brake lights.
I'm in a town with 85 this morning, aren't you?
Yeah, they've got a couple of left lanes closed here at Pelham Road.
Nothing new around Pelham Road. Problems.
any of this stuff. Well, either one of you might know, but Google Maps, they run off, like, pings off the phone. If a lot of phones are slowing down in the area or stopped in that area, that's how they dictate on what they put on the maps.
Yeah, they do it. They shut down here. Full stop. They have closed 85 South here at Pelham.
You can get off somewhere. That's not good. Bad when you leave 20, 30 minutes early and still wind up late in it.
Can everybody get off here at Pelham? Well, not quite to the exit yet, but there's certainly no traffic moving southbound. In the road, they've stopped.
Up there somewhere.
And they've got a couple left lanes closed up here, at least on the signs, and who knows? I mean, it could be a wreck, could be anything, I guess. Had never left the house.
You're so far in, you can't turn around and go back.
You're going in, and everything and his brother would be going wrong with you, and that little voice says, no, let's try it again tomorrow. And you just turn around.
Construction, you'd think they would have it advertised that they were going to be closing, so, and Google would know about it, but who knows.
It makes it a pain in the butt, right? We have Friday.
4HKX, you are right about that. There's nothing good about it anyway.
Clippers just took off, at least one of them did, and they started to move and then they stopped again.
One of them chicken bands in there so you can listen to what's going on.
That helps.
Sometimes it does. But a lot of these new truckers, they don't even have one in their truck. Too busy on the telephone.
Sometimes that is a bad deal because they have no idea what's going up on them, happening up ahead until they get there.
Everything else, it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. But most of the time it gets used for the bad and outweighs the good, seems to. Because those pile-ups and all that stuff, they can start slowing traffic down.
You need to get complacent, especially when you're doing something all day, every day, day after day. It's just really easy to get too comfortable.
Something that we harp on over here on the construction side, not to get complacent, and it gets you keeled on our side.
It will, and that's, you gotta be watching all the time. It's like driving, I run around and I think, oh, it's the same thing every week. No, it's not. There's surprises out there every day.
Drive for everybody else because they sure ain't going to watch out for you.
For sure. I was coming in there. The guy stopped me coming in. He was telling me the service truck got hit in the side. Lady pulling out of D&D Ford hit him in the side and then tried to tell him it was his fault because he changed lanes. Don't matter. You pulled out in traffic when you shouldn't have.
Correct. It all matter.
Now there's a dumpster fire for Greenville here too. It's going on 3 miles back up now since I started rolling again.
On the northbound side that flung something into southbound that had to stop traffic to get it out, or who knows?
Unless I was going through that noise hole at exit 51.
Something happened on the northbound that put something in southbound traffic lanes and they had to stop it to get it out.
What was going on the northbound side?
Is your stretcher than normal to y'all this morning?
Scratchy. Yep. I was just saying it's definitely scratchy on my end.
At all.
So here in Wade Hampton, in Taylor's, across from the post office, and it's scratchy this morning.
One or two bars on the receive signal strength bar on that D710.
I'm getting full signal, but it's still real scratchy.
For me, I'm getting full received, but it's still got a lot of noise with it. I guess it's something else. Weather got it or something again. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm going to pull into my parking spot, so I'm going to say y'all have a blessed day, and y'all be careful out there and enjoy what you do for the day. We'll be talking at y'all later on, and I'll say 7-3 on your final, KF4MUF.
Jody, good to talk to you this morning, and Eric, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here since I'm here already this morning. You be safe the rest of your trip, and hopefully things get better for you. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear.
Talking to you both this morning, and I hope you both have a great day and be safe. This is W2JKT73.
This is KI4GOD. I was wondering if anybody could tell me what the reception is like in Simpsonville down by the 185-385 junction.